lead us in his thoughts on Moses, the Spirit of Christ, and Deuteronomy.
Oh, very good afternoon, everyone. Let me just start by reading you the first verse of the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And that is the last thing that we would hope for, that when the Lord has returned, we will be found to have fallen short. And hopefully that's the feeling that you've got this weekend. A desire to see the Lord come. A desire to do your best to serve him, knowing how he has already served. One of the biggest difficulties, I think, with weekends like this is that they have to end. This might seem an obvious thing to say, but we have to leave what Brother Mark called this oasis of rest and go back to living our normal lives. I don't know what your normal life is like. I don't know how hard or easy you find it. Some people find life a lot easier generally than other people. Some people find it very hard indeed. Some people have, like we have now, lots of people around them to help them. Others have nobody and are on their own. We've been amazingly blessed to be able to come to a weekend like this and share the fellowship that we have. Share that hope of our Lord's return. Hopefully, if Duncan and I have done our jobs, you will go away from this weekend with an expectation of the kingdom. Maybe a renewed expectation of the kingdom. What we'd like you to try and do now is maintain that in your normal lives, in your perhaps what you might consider ordinary lives. You see, because we have this hope, and with this hope we can make our ordinary lives extraordinary. We can do something with our lives which lots of other people cannot do. We can serve the living God, knowing that he will be glorified by us. You see, the Lord will return. And we know that. But are we able to maintain that expectation day by day in our ordinary lives? You see, the kingdom can and should be a reality every day. Not just when we can focus on it nicely like we can this weekend with others around us to support us, but when we are on our own doing our own thing. We have to focus our minds constantly on the return of the Lord, what he has done to make that possible. Not an easy thing to do. Our minds are swamped with other things that take over. But we have to try to maintain that expectation. You see, we've been brought with Moses, hopefully, this weekend, to the edge of the land. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He'd led them through the Red Sea, through the waters for them of national baptism. Through him, God had freed them from the service of Egypt. He'd freed them to serve him in the wilderness. He'd shown them that he could deliver them. He had saved them. They'd been led by Moses through the wilderness, through the difficulties of life, through the trials, and through the temptations. And here we are now with Moses, on the edge of the land, on the very edge of the kingdom. And Moses stands on Mount Nebo, and he looks across the Jordan Valley, and there is the land, just over there. The kingdom is just there, and we are there with Moses. Moses stands on Mount Nebo and looks as if it were across the ravine of time into the kingdom of God itself. And there it is. But Moses himself cannot go in. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You see, Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land. And what a man Moses was! He'd led the people out of Egypt. And he wasn't allowed to go in. And the last duty that Moses performs is to remind the children of Israel. Come back with me to Deuteronomy. You see, the children of Israel, like us, needed reminding. They needed reminding of the journey that they had taken. Much like we've been thinking about their journey, they needed reminding of it themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's actually a phrase here that is picked up by the writer in Hebrews chapter 3. The New King James Version says, beware. The Authorized Version says, take heed. Verse 9, Moses says, only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Get the same phrase again in verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. And again in verse 23. They had to remember the covenant that God had made with them and that they had made with God. They had said, yes, we will obey everything that you have to say. But they didn't. Verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. The book of Deuteronomy was to remind them of their responsibility. This was a retelling of the law. Deuteronomy, Brother Duncan has already told us this weekend, means the second law. In Hebrew, the book is actually called the words. These are the words that they had to heed. And it's taken from Deuteronomy 1 verse 1. Moses goes through the law for the benefit of a new generation and says, you are going to go into the kingdom. The book of Deuteronomy, you see, is a book for the kingdom. But it's not just a book of laws and rules. It's a book for living. Moses was saying to the people, you've got to live the truth. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. This is a characteristic phrase that runs throughout the whole of Deuteronomy. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. Hear them and do them. And why should they do that? That you might live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. You see, this is a book for the kingdom. It was a book for them to abide by when they were in the land. And they were being given it before they'd gone in. Deuteronomy 4, verse 35. These weren't just the words of man. These weren't just Moses saying, oh, and by the way, you do need to remember everybody. These were the words of Almighty God being told them again, because they needed to hear them. Verse 35 of Deuteronomy 4. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Verse 39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and on earth beneath. There is none else. This was a book for the kingdom. Hear and do. And there's a choice that Moses sets before the children of Israel. And the choice is between blessing and cursing, between life and death. God, you see, had showed them everything that they needed to know. Just turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. You see, the book of Deuteronomy is an explanation by Moses as to how they should have lived the law. It's an explanation of what the spirit of the law should have been for them. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy 10. But now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Those beginning words of verse 12 might be familiar to you. They are a hymn, I believe. And they're also picked up by the prophet Micah. You don't have to go there, I'll just read them to you. If I can find it. Get there in the end. Micah chapter 6, and it's interesting what Micah actually appends to these words taken from Deuteronomy. He says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Literally, to humble thyself, to walk with thy God. And that is the purpose of the wilderness journeys, that they might know God and that they might humble themselves to serve him. Come with me then to the choice that is set before them in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because the same choice is set before us as it was before the children of Israel. You see, God had showed them what was right. He had given them the law once, and they had failed. He gave them the law a second time, and said, I've showed you what is right. You know what is right. You know how I want you to serve me. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. He says, see, it's obvious. I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. It's a fairly clear choice, really. You either choose life or you choose death. The generation previously had already chosen death. And here a new generation has a new opportunity. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And the cry comes, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, Moses himself wanted the children of Israel to be blessed. He, like the Lord Jesus Christ, wanted the people to inherit. This is reflected for us by the very last words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33. See, Moses concludes his life with a series of blessings on the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And it's the very last verse that I'd like us to concentrate on. Because he goes through the tribes and gives them individual blessings and says, you are going to be a blessed people when you go into the land. But more than that, he says, you are already blessed. Verse 29, he says, happy art thou, Israel. You already are a blessed people. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Interestingly, that's actually a reference back to his own song in Exodus 15, where he says, who is like unto thee, O Lord? You see, the transition that they'd made now was they were the people of God's name. It wasn't just God who Moses could say, who is like unto thee? It's the whole people that Moses can say, this is how blessed you are. You're partaking in the things of God. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency? You're blessed, Israel. You are going to go into the land. God has promised, and he will perform. Now, Deuteronomy is more than just a book about the children of Israel living in the land. It's more than just that. It's actually about our choice as well. It's about the same choice that we face. We either choose blessing or we choose cursing. We either choose life or we choose death. The Lord Jesus Christ, as in all his ways, has already gone before us. And he, for us, has chosen life. And how did he do it? He did it through his own death. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, himself, like we do, lived the life of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is an interesting one because it's said by many that it's a very Jewish Gospel, and some have even sort of called it the Jewish Gospel, saying it was for Jews to read and to see in the Lord Jesus Christ their Saviour. This, I think, is probably quite an appropriate thing, because when we think about how Matthew records the events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that the Lord himself, in his life, lived the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. He starts with the book of the genealogy, much as Numbers enumerates the generations of the children of Israel in the wilderness. But Matthew starts by reminding us what the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Matthew chapter 1. Talking to Joseph about Mary, he says, halfway through verse 20, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Just a little reminder for us at the beginning of the Gospel, what the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was. It was to save them from their sins. And it's the last verse that is the interesting start to how Matthew records the record. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 1. And Joseph knew Mary not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. God had brought forth the firstborn, in whom we all inherit, in whom we are all caused to inherit. Israel had been brought out of Egypt as a firstborn. Matthew chapter 2. For fear of Herod, they go down into Egypt. Verse 13 of Matthew 2. When they were departed, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there, till I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, much as Joseph and Jacob and his family had done many years before. Verse 15, And the family was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his own life, living the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And then when we get to chapter 3, what's recorded for us there? But the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 in Matthew 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. You see, I think the Lord Jesus Christ himself understood that that was the process that he was going through. He was being baptized like the children of Israel had been, and it was necessary for him to do that. And Jesus, verse 16, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, just like came to the children of Israel. He's shown you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to humble thyself, to walk with thy God. And he said, This is my beloved Son, the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased. And from the baptism, where does the Lord Jesus Christ go? Driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And where does the Lord Jesus Christ go in defence of his temptations? He goes to the book of the kingdom. He goes to the book which was about living the life of the kingdom. Three times he goes to the book of Deuteronomy to combat the temptation that is there. Twice from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and once from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm not going to succumb to the temptations which the children of Israel did in the wilderness. And he uses their experience to do just that. You see, he understood the choice between life and death. Just keep a finger in Matthew chapter 4. We won't actually go through all of the temptations. But I would just like to pick up on the first one. And the answer that the Lord gives. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. And again, the emphasis being on that this was that they should choose life. Deuteronomy 8 verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And what was the purpose of Deuteronomy? To remind them. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. That's what Hebrews 3 talks about. And what was the purpose of the journeys? What was the purpose of the wilderness? To humble thee. To prove thee. To know what was in thine heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. That's the purpose of our wilderness journey, much as it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his temptations were about. And that is what our temptations and trials and tribulations are about. To humble us. To test us. To know what is in our heart. To see whether we will keep his commandments or no. Back in Matthew 4. And the Lord, having come through the temptations in the wilderness, finds himself, as Moses, on the edge of the land. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the position that the Lord himself found himself in. He was at the edge of the kingdom, much as Moses was. And then in Matthew chapter 5, very much as Moses had left off, the Lord commences with the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when his disciples came to him, he opened his mouth and taught them. He begins his greatest public speech, the first one recorded for us by Matthew, the first one recorded for us in the Gospels, as Moses had done, with blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And notice, it's only blessing that he starts with. There's a series of blessings which come from the Lord. And that's all he gives. You see, the Lord himself had made that choice already. There was for him no cursing. Not as yet. He had chosen life. He had made his choice. He had overcome in the wilderness and he had chosen life. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who follow the things that are written down in Deuteronomy. And that spirit which it represents. For theirs, not will be, not shall be, as the other Beatitudes are, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That for the Lord was the decisiveness of the choice. There was no other choice for him, because the kingdom was almost there. You see, the Lord stood on a mountain and saw, through time, the kingdom of God. You see, for the Lord, the kingdom in his day-to-day life was a living reality. It wasn't just a momentary thing. It wasn't just a weekend thing. It wasn't just when there were lots of people round him that they knew. It was all the time, day by day, struggling, fighting to make sure the kingdom was a living reality. You see, Moses has brought us to the edge of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought us to the edge of the kingdom. Let's make our lives, our ordinary lives, extraordinary. Let's maintain the expectation that the kingdom is at hand.